Brother Jonathan has selected as his title today, Our Kind, Most Gracious Heavenly Father. Our Kind, Most Gracious Heavenly Father. Brother Freer?
Well, it's my turn to say good afternoon. It is a blessing to be here in Seattle, and it is a blessing to be at this location. As Dave was giving us his welcome, I was looking out the window, and just out that little window is just a really nice little view out there, and little birds and what have you. It is a peaceful place, and I appreciate Dave sharing with us the experience he had coming here with Elaine. And I had the opportunity a year ago to spend time with both Dave and Elaine, and we spent quite a bit of time. We traveled around areas north of here, and It was nice to have those opportunities to share with both of them. And it is a blessing and a privilege to be here with you, my brethren, our brethren. I would be remiss if I didn't thank my Heavenly Father for the privilege that He's given me to be here. And travel with my two younger daughters, that was a nice experience. It's quite a drive up here from Sacramento, and we had a good time. As a matter of fact, I didn't have to do too much of the driving, which is getting nice. I'll invite them along more often. But we did have a wonderful trip up, and we did have the opportunity to stay with Carlton and Catherine Chandler in their home, and drove here with them to this morning. So that was a wonderful blessing. Your brethren in Sacramento send their love, the Chandlers, the Langfords, send their special love, and our class voted unanimously for to bring their love to you here. And, of course, Sister Catherine would have liked to have been here, but she had to work yesterday. And I tried to talk her into flying one way up to Portland, but it just didn't work out. But she sends her love, would have liked to have been here with me. Our kind, most gracious Heavenly Father, when we were driving up here, I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about and the wonderful blessings and things we experience from our Heavenly Father and the privileges and blessings we receive. And it's my blessing it's my prayer while I'm here that I will receive blessings. And that may sound selfish, but I think the Heavenly Father wants us to receive blessings. But it's also my prayer that you receive blessings from anything that's said or done from the platform or any experiences we have in fellowship that we receive. You receive blessings. You know, I thought this morning we'd spend some time in looking at Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I've studied this particular letter a lot because it really has a lot of information in there about our Heavenly Father. And many of you have probably heard me say this before, that Ephesians is one of my most favorite letter from Paul. It's my most favorite letter from the New Testament. And I would venture to say that most of you brethren, let me ask the question. How many of you brethren have a favorite letter or book in the New Testament? Just raise your hand. A favorite, pretty much everybody I think has something in the New Testament and even in the Old Testament that is their favorite. You know, some passage or some scripture that has really a deep meaning for you in your Christian walk, something that you've studied or learned that, you know, kind of opened up your ears and your eyes to better understanding our Heavenly Father's character. Well, this is what Ephesians is to me. You know, and something I always like is that the brethren are willing to share that. You know, I mean, I'm sharing it now from the platform. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to encourage you. This is kind of selfish on my part, but I'd like to encourage you over the next few days to share with brethren your favorite scriptures or your favorite letters. And when you're sitting at the dining room table or you're having fellowship, think about that and share that with brethren. What is your favorite scripture or your favorite letter, and why is it your favorite? You know, I also think about the fact that we typically do that. I know I do, and I'm around a lot of brethren that do that. We typically do that. And I think we do that because of the fact that they have special meaning for us. We'll say, have you looked at this particular scripture and what this says? And you ever thought about that it means this, or it may mean this to you or to me? Not so much that we're trying to change a person's viewpoint or belief on a subject, but that they have special meaning to us on showing us the Heavenly Father and His character and His love and His compassion and the fact that our Heavenly Father is a gracious, loving Heavenly Father. Well, again, Ephesians does this for me. To kind of give you an idea of what we're going to do is we're going to spend a little bit of time in Ephesians looking at God's plans and purposes. I think that there's very clear information in this letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians that relate to God's plans and purposes. We'll look a little bit about as it relates to the church and church members and how our Heavenly Father addresses some of the responsibilities and some of the exceeding great and precious promises He's given to us through this letter. There's, in chapter one, there's some specific words that I want to look at, and it's the word trusting, and it's the word hearing, it's the word believing, and it's the word sealing. And I like word studies because when you look at a word study, I always have the privilege of finding really hidden meanings in terms of our Heavenly Father. So we're going to try to look at those four words. And then we'll spend hopefully a little time looking at God's aspect of the body of Christ and discerning the body of Christ. And then if time permits, we'll spend a little bit of time looking at things that we can do that Ephesians tells us that we can do to be successful if we want to be sons of God and be part of that church class. We'll move around a little bit. We'll look into some scriptures, and I just ask that you bear with me as we do this. When we study, one of the things that you'll hear the brethren say a lot is you have to have authority for why you believe something. You know, one or two, and the scriptures are very clear. If we take our time to turn to 2 Corinthians 13, 1, and I think this is important to us, and I'd like to know if you have a different interpretation of this particular scripture, share that with me. But to me, this tells us that how we establish authority for something we believe. And Paul says, and this is again 2 Corinthians 13:1, this is the third time I'm coming to you in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. All right? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word should be established. Now, that may have different meanings for you. It may have the same meaning for you. But for myself, when I look at that, what that tells me is that if I'm going to believe something emphatically, if I'm going to say, I believe this because of these scriptures, this is what the scriptures say, there needs to be at least two sources for that to believe that and validate my belief on that. So the first thing we're going to look at is God's divine plan of the ages. We've all heard of this. We talk about it. There's a volume written about the divine plan of the ages. You know, we talk about creation, the things that we strongly believe in. Creation, the fact that Jesus as the Logos spent eons of time with our Heavenly Father creating a grand design for our Heavenly Father, for Himself to inherit, and for the world of mankind. His Son, the creation of man, the fall of man, the sacrifice, ransom sacrifice of His Son, God's justice applied on behalf of the world of mankind, the ransom removing that justice or that condemnation of death from the world of mankind, the church, the development of the church, the end of the age, the millennial kingdom, the restoration of the entire world of mankind, and that period of time when it's all turned over back to God and He will be all in all. In a few short seconds, I think I've kind of encapsulated God's plan for the world of mankind and what it involves. But regarding the God's plan of the ages, let's turn to Ephesians 3, and we'll go to verse 18, and we'll start looking at this. This is Ephesians 3, 18. We're going to go 8 through 14. Unto me, who am the least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Our Heavenly Father, through our Lord, is making known to us, the church, the manifold wisdom of God. And then the 11th verse says, according to the eternal purposes which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I like this because if you look at that 11th verse in the Diaglot, 3:11, according to a plan of the ages. In other words, making this mystery known is the manifold wisdom of God, and as the Diaglot said, according to the plan, to a plan of the ages. And what do we call that, brethren? We call it the divine plan of the ages, God's divine plan. These things I was talking about as it relates to the creation of the world, the logos, the downfall of man, God's justice, the ransom, is all according to a divine plan of the ages. You know, I like to think about a comment that Brother Hersher made years ago. He said, to every great design is a great designer. And I always appreciated when he says that, because he really know who he's talking about. He's talking about our Heavenly Father. This great design, this great plan designed by our Heavenly Father. You know, let's go to 1 Timothy 2:4-6. And I think this scripture also is a good source for God's divine plan of the ages, although we primarily use this as a proof text related to the ransom. This is 1 Timothy 2:4-6. Who will have all men to be saved. That's really the ultimate objective of God, isn't it? To have all men to be saved. And do what? And come unto the knowledge of the truth. And if you look at that in the Diaglot, I think it says, to an accurate knowledge of the truth. In other words, all men will be saved and will really truly understand what God's true plans are for the world of mankind. An accurate understanding of his divine plan of the ages. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So you have in that, you have the relationship between of God and our Lord, the Logos and our Lord, Jesus as the man and the ransom, and the process of that ransom enabling the Heavenly Father and our Lord through the church to put the world in a position where it can be restored to a former state. Now let's turn to Acts, the 17th chapter, and we'll look at verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day, our Heavenly Father, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, concerning which he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him up from the dead. Our Heavenly Father planned that. It was part of the grand design that our Lord should, as it says, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man who he hath ordained, concerning which he has given him assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him up from the dead. So our Lord being raised up from the dead, what did that do? It enabled our Lord to present that sacrifice as a ransom, to remove the judgment of death upon the world of mankind. To move God's plans and purposes, our kind, most gracious Heavenly Father, to move those purposes forward. When we really think about it, God's plan is awesome. It's an incredible thing that he's doing. And the fact that we, as David mentioned, we've come here, we see those mountains and we have that water there and they're beautiful things, but there are spiritual mountains and spiritual things that we understand through our begettal of the Holy Spirit. It's through our saying that we understand our role also in God's plans. And this gives us a hope, doesn't it? In other words, by understanding God's plans and purposes, understanding what he's doing, if we go back to that scripture that talks about the mystery, this, the manifold wisdom of God may being made evident to us, the mystery is us, the church, and understanding that there is a church class, there is a new creation that will further God's plans and purposes. Let's go back now to Ephesians, and we'll go to chapter 1. And this is really my favorite part. Well, that's all. I like all of it. But I really particularly enjoy this because Many of you have heard me say, you know, our Heavenly Father, throughout the Scriptures, I find these lists of things or these orders of things. You know, I've talked a lot about the fruits of the Spirit and list these fruits of the Spirit and, you know, these things that we need to do to make our calling election sure, and it kind of lists these, you know, you do this, you do this, you do this. And I like this because this kind of gives us an order of, to me, how we move towards this relationship we have with the Heavenly Father. But this starts in Ephesians 1, and we'll go back to verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, our Lord's blood. The ransom is applied on our behalf now. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You know, our Heavenly Father didn't have to do this, but it's according to the riches of His grace and His divine plan, His divine purposes, and His, again, His gracious kindness. Verse 8, in which He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even to Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be the praise of His glory, who first now He heard. Okay, so what that's saying is you hear it, the truth, then you trust it. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, what does it say? Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So you hear it, you trust it, you believe it, and then you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that, brother, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on that if you have different thoughts or ideas. But to me, that tells me something about how we're brought into this church class. And what we'll do is we'll spend a little time looking at each of those words in terms of what they mean from Strong's and from the translation. But that's incredible when you really think about it. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. And then let's look at we'll go to the 17th and the 18th verse, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, to us, the wisdom, the spirit of the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Why? So the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. What is it we're doing here? Why are we here? God wants us here. The glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. And I'll read the 20th verse because you really can't read that. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him down at the right hand. So that's talking about God's holy energy that does that. So I would think in looking at these first few scriptures, we have a pretty good idea that God has a divine plan, doesn't He? And it affects, it's based on a restoration of the world of mankind, isn't it? Restoring the world to a former state. It's based on a sacrificial death of our Lord. And there's a group, a class, an us class, a we class that has an inheritance to that. You know, one thing I don't plan on discussing today when we talk about, when we go back and look at those heard, trusted, believed, and you're sealed, you know, there's a lot of discussion on consecration and justification and what have you. And I really don't plan on discussing a point where, at what point in time a person consecrates versus when they're justified. It's my opinion that one must be drawn, and they must be drawn to an understanding and an acceptance of what God's plans are before they can make a conscious decision about consecrating and following in our Lord's footsteps. Before we go there, though, let's take a time to look at Luke 14:26, because I do think what we have to do when we're called is we have to make a decision. When you hear it, and if you hear it, you trust it, and if you trust it, you believe it, And then if you move forward, what does it say? You're sealed. And to me, that would mean the process of being justified. Now, this would be Luke 14. We'll start at chapter or verse 26. Luke 14, 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be any or cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest perhaps after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. My point of bringing that out is that many of us have made that decision to build on that foundation, to make that decision to follow our Lord's footsteps in a full consecration. But we heard the word, we believed it, we trusted it, and we chose to move forward, and we were sealed. Okay, let's look at this word trusted. It's from Strong's 4276, and it means to hope in advance. We're sure hoping in advance for all these things we hear about God's plans, aren't we? We trust that to here now and in our Christian walk, we know that there is a specific plan and purpose. And as it says, to hope in advance. We have great hope. We have an assurance, and it talks about that assurance being the Holy Spirit. We first trust it, and we anticipate it strongly, don't we? We pray for it in every prayer. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth that is done in heaven. You know, it means that we have a strong hope, and we hope in something better. When I first heard the truth, before I heard the truth, and you know, we talk about this too. How did you get the truth, or what led you to the truth? What was it that, unless you were born in it, I didn't have the opportunity of being born in it. So the Heavenly Father directed me to it. But the one thing that I had difficulty with was hell. You know, and I told myself, I will not believe in a God that has that kind of hell. Because if he has that kind of hell, he's not a merciful God. And I won't believe in it. Strike me dead if that's the way you are. And I wouldn't believe it. I found that the Heavenly Father is a kind, loving, gracious Heavenly Father. Would you do that to your children if they were obedient, eternally torment them? No. And so, if I wouldn't do that, what makes me more merciful than God? Well, that can't be true. My Uncle Jim was a faithful witness. I don't know how many of you knew Jim Freer, but he was a real faithful witness, and we talked about that a lot. And he was one of those faithful witnesses that told me, you know, God, that's not the way God is. Look at this. Look at these. I have this favorite scripture I want to show you, and he'd show me his favorite scripture that would tell me that there was no hell. So when you hear it and it makes sense, what do? You trust it, don't you? You say, okay, I believe that. I trust that. The next word of the four is the word heard, and that's from Strong's 191. And this is important because it means to give audience to listen, you know, to incline thine ear. But not only to understand or give audience to, but to give audience to and listen, but it means to hear with understanding. All right, so something has to start happening here in this process that you hear with understanding. You hear it. Let's turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter. And we'll read verses 10 through 11 and 16 through 16 and 17. This is Matthew 13. And this is a parable. Our Lord, actually the apostles are talking to the Lord about a parable. They want to know why he's talking in these parables. And he says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whomsoever have not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. All right, so it's not meant for everybody to hear it. It's not at that, at this particular time and place and this point. You know, our Heavenly Father does the calling. And it's up to us when he does a calling that we hear it. And then if we look at verses 16 through 17, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear these things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear therefore the parable of the sower. And he goes down and starts talking in another parable. All right, so it's given for you to hear. Heard, to give audience and to understand, to incline thine ear and listen. How did you hear the truth? You know, that's a common question. How did you get the truth? Well, I was born in it. Well, I wasn't born in it. Well, I got the truth this way. So I explain how I got the truth, how I heard the truth. You know, I've heard stories. I heard a story of some sailor out in the ocean. He's up there, and they make him go up and they clean that thing in the top where they, the mast, and he's up there, and some bird made a nest out of a Dawn magazine or a tract. Have you heard that story? That's a good story. It's probably true. The Heavenly Father could do that, couldn't he? Have a bird grab a tract and go out and make a nest in a boat and have some guy climb up there and find it? The Heavenly Father could do that, couldn't he? So how did you hear the truth? You know, we ask that. Is there anybody here that has never asked a brother or sister how they got the truth? No hands. So we want to know. It's fascinating, the stories we hear about how brethren get the truth. So what are some of the ways we get the truth? Oh, here's some ways. If you have a different way, tell me. Someone told you the truth. Somebody said, look, John, this is what the truth, read this book. Maybe you heard it on the TV or the radio, Frank and Ernest, The Bible Answers. Maybe it came from something printed. You picked up something somewhere and it was printed. You didn't do it without a Bible. You had to use a Bible in concordance with it because you got something and you looked at it and you went back to a Bible and said, oh, wow, that's true. I believe that. I heard it and I believe it. I always tell this story about Catherine and I. When Catherine and I met, we went to Episcopalian, we went to Baptist, we wanted to go to church. And I said, well, you know, my uncle, they meet in their house actually it was their daughter's house, Sherry Smith's house, on Wednesdays and Sundays. Let's go there. And we went, we've been going ever since. You know, when they stopped what they were doing and they pulled out the Creator's Grand Design and we started studying about the truth about hell. It's like, that made sense. All down through history, there have been faithful brethren that have been ambassadors spreading the truth. Aren't we blessed by that? You know, there's a really good scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that talks about we are ambassadors in Christ's stead. You know, our Lord's gone. So our responsibility is now we're ambassadors in his place, and that's how we spread the truth. We have a responsibility to witness the truth. Let's go to the word trusted now, and that's from Strong's. Again, it's 4276. And so what are we trusting in? What are we believing in? You know, that word believe and trust are really the same thing. We're believing and we're trusting that what we read here and what we prove here by two or three or more witnesses is the truth. And that's what we say. We have the truth. We tell people in the world, well, this is the truth. We have the truth. Let's turn back to Ephesians 1:13. Yeah, that we should be to the glory, praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. All right. We were drawn to the truth. We continue to be drawn to the truth. And really, I think it's because we really trust it, don't we? We believe it. We trust it. We know it's the truth. We have no doubt in what we believe. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that it's written in our hearts. We experience the Heavenly Father, our kind, gracious, loving Father's things that he does for us. the things that he shows us. I don't think there's any brethren here that haven't studied and all of a sudden look at the scripture and think, I never thought that that meant that. I never knew that's what that meant. We believe God's plan because we know that our God is just, he's wise, he's all-powerful, and he's loving. And his primary, if you look at it, all those other, the justice, the wisdom, the power are directed by his love. They motivate his actions and how he does things is by his love. It's a plan from an all-wise, loving, and merciful Heavenly Father. Through this, we understand God's character, and we're blessed by it. We understand God's character from what we hear, what we believe, and what we trust. But what is the primary ingredient? We're sealed. We're sealed with his Holy Spirit. This word believed is from Strong's 4100, and it means to have faith, to believe. You know, that's if you've ever looked up the word faith, not faith in the sense of believing, but faith in the sense of the faith that we talk about, and it's from 4102, and this word belief is a root of that, and 4102 is pistis, and that is conviction of the religious gospel truth. If you look it up in the concordance, it says that, a belief in the conviction of the religious gospel truth. So, we hear it, we believe it, we trust it, and then we're sealed. And to me, I think there's a process of steps that we go through to do that. It's different for each and every one of us. The Heavenly Father works differently in each and every one of us. I remember asking a question, well, where does consecration occur? And I'm not here to answer that question, but the brother that answered the question was, he says, those Israelites, when they were in the land and that tabernacle was erected, if they weren't in there serving, they had nothing to do with anything that was going on in that tent. They could stand out there around it and they could see the white linen curtains and they knew the priests were in there and they could see the parts burning outside the camp and they could see the smoke coming from the altar and they could smell the incense. And they knew something was going on in there. They knew that the priests were making arrangements for them between God and them. And so at some point in time when you're outside that, and you haven't consecrated, but you're being called, you see things, you hear things, and you begin trusting things. And once we're sealed with that Holy Spirit, that's the same energy that our Heavenly Father wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That same energy is what he used to resurrect our Lord. And that's what works in us now. So in closing, we'll read Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 23 and 24. Peace be with you, brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. I'll read that again. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. What a kind, loving, most gracious Heavenly Father we have. And may the Lord add his blessing. Amen.